Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here we go. It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. We got 87 minutes until Miami and Ole Miss college football semifinal coming up here at 5:20. Before we get to the G-Bag of the day, I'll get you an NFL draft big board report. We'll learn more about these Miami edges. In the meantime, we're going to get an edition of Football's Finest with Eric Chiafalo.
All right, get your guesses in, ladies and gentlemen. 877-881-1053. Which playoff quarterback hates their play caller the most? Right after this.
But at the end of the day, it's about taking it a day by a time. A day and a day, just continuing to do that.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
It doesn't matter. He pulls another rabbit out of his head.
It's a little bit harder here, and Mike McDaniel say to win games,
you can't lose the game.
You wonder if he's going to say that in one of his interviews to be a head coach or play caller. Here's the deal, guys. Like, part of my philosophy is to win games, you can't lose them. And that's what got me here today with an opportunity for my second head coaching job.
I was smoking that.
Ooh-wee. Do you think like going to a place where it's legal is important to him? Like, should we monitor that? Like, in D.C., can't you smoke out? In Washington? Like, you got to have a dispensary.
I don't think it's rec. I think you have to have a card, but yeah.
You could probably get him one, right?
You can get him one, you know.
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel.
Dan Quinn's pulling those strings for him right now in Washington. Something to consider. No question. Okay, so do you guys have a guess here? Maybe you guys saw the same quote I did, but the quarterback in the playoffs that hates his play caller the most.
My guess would be either Jalen Hurts or Aaron Rodgers.
I feel like Aaron Rodgers has more say in that offense than Arthur Smith does. Like, he walks into Arthur Smith and says, hey, this is what we're doing on
Sunday.
I'm going
to say Josh Allen.
Josh Allen?
Yeah.
Not liking your guy Joe Brady?
I don't think him and Joe Brady get on along all the time.
That's not good.
Hey, it looks like DC is wrecked now, bro.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah. That's a selling point.
Okay. Mike McDaniel. The odds just shot up even more.
You can have 2 ounces on your person? What?
What?
Detroit, Michigan, it's legal too.
Let's go.
And in Detroit.
He's in a good spot here.
Man. Okay.
I'll throw it in my contract.
Yeah, dude. Well, it is Jalen Hurts. It's a good call there, Wolchuk. Saw this quote here. Okay. Jalen Hurts was asked about on whether the decline in his own running this year has kept him healthy because he hasn't run the ball as much this year. That's been one of the talking points. When we were prepping for the Eagles, it's like, when is Jalen Hurts going to start using his superpower, which is running the football? And everybody, I guess you would anticipate, like, once you get into playoff mode, which you're in now, you know, you kind of just get a little bit more reckless with it. So we'll see. But his quote was, no, the season has just gone the way that it is. The approach this year and the way the games have been called with this coordinator, with Coach KP, Kevin Petullo, it's just kind of gone that way. I've taken it in stride and giving my best with the position they've put me in.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It seemed like
Doesn't
a number.
Like a lash out?
Absolutely. Yeah. It seems like a number of players through insider reports have had things to say about Petullo. So this one doesn't surprise me. But yeah, I think you have the power as a quarterback. Like, if it's scrambling time, it's running time. Like, he did plenty of that in the first half against the Cowboys in week one. It was really the difference in the game was his 65, 70 yards rushing or whatever he had.
Yeah, and I get as a play caller with a team that you think, hey, like, we have championship aspirations. You don't want to get reckless in the regular season running the ball. But he seems like he's been, maybe after that first half in week one versus the Cowboys, Petullo pulled him to the side and said, hey, I know you're helping us win right now, but please do not do this.
I mean, you know how I feel about it. If you can make the playoffs without running your quarterback, I don't think you should. And
right.
If they have intentionally done that and dealt with the brunt of the criticism, like, what are you guys doing? This offense is trash. It's just hard to believe that, like, there would be so much toxicity and animosity from A.J. Brown and others if that was the plan. Like, hey, we're going to be patient, and then we're going to go win another Super Bowl, and everybody's going to be happy. That I wouldn't have expected all the hand-wringing that we had throughout the middle of that season.
So, speaking of that Eagles and Niners matchup here, Sunday's wild card matchup, you have Lane Johnson and N'Kobe Dean returning to practice yesterday for the Eagles.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So that is certainly going to be big for them. Lane Johnson, still one of the best right tackles in the league.
Did he never come back?
No.
In the regular season?
No. Wow. Yeah, so they've been playing without him, and getting him back will be huge. On the other side, you have Trent Williams, left tackle for the Niners. He's got a hamstring injury, and I think he was back at practice today. Him and Ricky Pearsall are the two guys that they're hoping are going to be available for that game. But if Trent Williams misses that game, that's going to be huge.
I'd be stunned if he does not play.
Yeah, I mean, you would have
he's
to gonna
think. He's going to go out. Like, you got to take that leg off for this, him not to play.
Yeah, at this stage in his career, a hamstring, is that really going to be the thing that keeps him out of a playoff game? I don't know. But the Niners, over the last five seasons with Trent Williams, are 61-32. Without him, they're 4-13.
Wow.
So it's definitely, I mean, it's big for them. Lane Johnson, like, the same thing.
Seems like Vegas might know something about his injury. That's a big spread, isn't it?
Well, is it
five and a half?
Five and a half?
Yeah.
5.5 does seem pretty.
You tell
big.
Me Trent's playing, that's a mortgage payment.
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely take them to cover that if Trent Williams is going to be playing in this game. And we'll break down most of the weekend slate probably tomorrow here on a Football Friday. Did you guys see the crazy science theory thing about the Niners injuries? Mm-mm. Man, this one's interesting. On it's Peter Cowan on social media. This is like some science guy. And we've
Bill Nye rules. The science guy.
I think he's better than Bill Nye.
Ugh.
But we've so
what
like
are you doing?
Take that back.
The Niners.
Jeez.
Is Bill Nye still sciencing?
Hell yes, he is. I saw him talk to UNT.
Yeah.
You saw him talk to UNT?
Yeah, he came and did a speaking engagement at North Texas. You weren't
Come on,
there,
man.
No,
why don't you care about it?
I must have missed that one.
Stop boozing it up every night and go watch the science guy.
I just haven't seen it. Like, where can I find Bill Nye?
Bill's out there.
Like, where's
he's
the
doing
Bill Nye
thing?
Science Channel?
He's crushing it.
Shouldn't he have one by now?
He should have
his own, like, Oprah network. It's the Bill Nye Network.
He's got the Bill Nye
of science
channel.
Science things.
Yeah.
But this guy, Peter Cowan, he did a deep dive here on the Niners' injuries, and for a long time now, they are synonymous with being super banged up, the Niners are. And
where they practice, maybe?
It's where they practice.
Yeah.
They practice next to an energy, some type of electrical substation that is right next to their practice facility.
Oh, they got mad cow.
It's
football players.
It's something very, very weird where it's electromagnetic fields. And so what that can do is like degrade collagen, weaken tendons, and soft tissue damage at levels regulators call safe. Like, they call it that, but that was from years and years and years ago that they're still abiding by these particular rules. And so
electric company paid them to call it safe.
Exactly. Yeah. So his whole thing is because their practice field, like their weight room, like all this stuff, they're getting some type of like EMF situation into their body at a rate that is way larger than what it really should be. Mm. And it can soften your tendons and degrade collagen and have some injury issues there. And I don't know how legit that is, but they're the only team that practices right next to an electrical substation. So if I'm the Niners, I'd be trying to figure out what the heck's going on. If I'm a player who's going to be like a free agent and go play for the Niners, that's something I want to get to the bottom of a little bit.
This is not unusual for the 49ers. They have a history of this, believe it or not. And they've had a cluster of four players one time, and I remember this, and I had to look it up just to make sure. They had multiple players that passed away from ALS. And they're saying it had to do with the practice field, that they practice on a study that talking about the talking about the connection between the disease and variant factors, and they're talking about that fertilizer and some chemical stuff was used, some DMSO was used on these practice fields, and they feel like that these players, and my uncle Charlie Krueger played on these teams. He was an 18-year vet. He passed away, but not with the ALS stuff. But they had a practice facility in Redwood City that they feel like that was contaminated, and a bunch of these players got sick and died. Yikes. because of working for the 49ers at that Redwood facility. So this is not the first time that the Niners have had some questions about the practice facility.
Yeah, I'd be getting that thing moved. It sounds ripe for a lawsuit, if you ask me.
They practice at the stadium, right next to the stadium. So they must. I'm trying to remember where that power station is,
bro. I got the diagram of it. It's right there. It's right next to the practice field and
we'll
the stadium.
Going to the Super Bowl. I mean, we'll see the. You know, you'll see where that maybe it is, but it's kind of crazy that they've had a history of practice field problems before.
Yeah, I guess Chase Senior did like a whole 11-minute video about this like a year ago. And John Feliciano, one of their offensive linemen, was joking with other players about, like, yeah, well, no wonder, because we're next to an electrical substation. That's right next to the practice facility. So there's been talk about this. I guess, like, they did look into this, and there's no scientific evidence that supports these claims. But why wouldn't you just move your practice facility? Like, if it could be, I'm moving it.
Yeah, yeah, you got to be more buttoned up than that, especially with now a pretty long history of the Niners being a perpetually injured football team. Happens to them, it seems like, more than anybody. So I don't know. That's a crazy deal. Shout out to 469. Can I get a shout out for my daughter Grace and how excited she is to start gymnastics tonight?
Oh, yeah, good luck!
Shout out to you.
Congratulations, Grace. Go tear it up and make sure you get home before 6:40 so your dad can see kickoff tonight.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't dally around.
Everybody's saying Bill Nye went super crazy liberal. Is that what happened?
Oh,
is that why he's not popping up into my algorithm much?
Okay. Well, that might be your.
Maybe that makes sense.
There it is.
It's starting to add up now.
Let's really talk about it.
Bill Nye, the liberal guy.
Bill Nye, the liberal guy.
It's funny. I've been seeing a lot of them lately.
It's starting to make sense why he went to my alma mater to start giving some science there.
That's true.
UNT would welcome him with open freaking arms, bro. Okay. We also have the story. Did you see Kayshon Boutte, your LSU Tiger?
Mm. What happened?
He's writing, and he had a great season for the Patriots this year.
Yeah.
He's writing in the Players Tribune. He's basically just spilling all the backstory on his gambling disaster that he had when he was with LSU.
I didn't hear about this.
Yeah, you definitely did, but I understand why you don't necessarily remember it.
Got mixed up.
Yeah, when he was at LSU a few years ago, I mean, he had gotten arrested because he had placed like almost 9,000 illegal bets.
Oh, this okay, yeah.
Including
this
at
is
least
at LSU,
six
right?
on LSU yeah. on LSU games.
Yeah. And how's he still playing?
Yeah, well, I don't know exactly how he kind of like got through all of that, but the Patriots were willing to go ahead and take a shot on him, and it's worked out because he's been pretty dang good. But it's a really interesting read for anybody who wants to go in there, the Players Tribune. Those are usually pretty fun reads from the player's perspective. Like they give you great detail and stuff. And he talks about how when he got injured and everything in his world just kind of came crashing down, and that's where he got into the gambling addiction.
Okay.
He says, I knew I was addicted. He's like, when you lose and you're an addict, there's this voice in the back of your mind like, no, I got to get my money back. I got to get it back.
Double up to catch up.
But even when you win, it's never enough. You aren't satisfied just winning $1,000. Don't get me wrong, a bag is nice, but nobody gambles for that kind of money.
No.
Gambling is about the dream. Yep. Everybody's dream is to go to the casino, hit for $100,000, $300,000, $500,000. And a lot of gamblers think that if they quit, it would end up being right before their biggest hit, before they would have tripled up on some parlay, 10X, 20X. Why not? That could be me. That's the mindset that always kept me hanging on. What if I do quit? But one day I would have hit this and we'd have been on a boat somewhere living off it, right?
Nobody was forcing me. He says, I wasn't being hustled. I didn't even have anybody to be mad at but myself. I was digging my own grave. Then one day I shoveled that last little bit of dirt over my head. He says, I had nothing left. I gambled until I was completely broke. When it was all said and done, I put around $90,000 of my own money and lost it all. At a certain point when you hit rock bottom, every gambling addict has this moment when you're laying in bed seeing $0 on the app and you know that's your last. And it's like, how the hell did I get here? And it all starts from him getting hurt and football being taken away from him. He's in this depressive state and he starts the gambling stuff. And part of what got him back was becoming a dad. So he had a kid and that was kind of a look in the mirror moment. I think we can all understand that for sure. But
that'll break you too.
Yeah, that'll get you broke real quick as well. But super interesting read from Kayshon Boutte, who will be playing in the playoffs as the Patriots receiver, and his whole story on how he is no longer dealing with the gambling nightmare.
Yeah, that Players Tribune is something, man. It was huge like 10 years ago, and it doesn't seem like we get them very often anymore, but the George Pickens one was outstanding. And, you know, a lot of times it's just the player in his own words is going to give you a lot more depth and detail. And I guess with a story like that, you really wouldn't want to trust another writer, you know, with creative control.
No, for sure.
Something like that, you want to tell your own story. Okay, we got G-Bag of the day coming up at 5:30. We got Ellie live at 5:40. We'll hit the expressway. Little big board report. Let's learn more about these Miami edges as kickoff is coming up in 70 minutes. And we're back with,
you know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
to continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
With that here on The Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Okay, it's time to hit the expressway. We go commercial free to the top. G-Bag today is coming up here at 5:30, then LA Live coming up at 5:40. We got a big board report. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about these Miami edges. In the big board report, we investigate the players the Cowboys will be considering with their picks. But before we get there, Brian reported about 90 minutes ago what your sources are telling you about possible DC interviews up there at the Star.
Yeah, that things could start to happen a little bit tomorrow. So keep your eye out. Hopefully, as the day wears on, Bobby, myself, you know, we'll maybe get some names or two. I'm sure that Todd Archer, somebody like that, will have Jane Slater. Just instead of just going another couple of days, it sounds like they're going to actually get started on this tomorrow. So
okay,
keep an ear to the ground.
Possible interviews tomorrow. Join us for a wild card of Football Friday edition, and we'll pass along whatever comes our way. We go to ESPN with the headline, Always a Race. How Reuben Bain Jr. and Akeem Mezidor have driven Miami and each other. They're going to face off with Ole Miss here coming up at 6:30. Canes are the three-point favorite. Mel Kiper has Bain number two, Mezidor number three in his positional rankings. So this is fun. You know, two guys that could be the Cowboys selection at 12 or maybe even with the Packers pick, depending on how the draft prep goes. Story goes, though, these guys are best buddies. Been that way since they met 4 years ago. And after reading the story, you know, there's some angles in here suggest maybe Mezidor is going to be the fast riser as we get into this draft prep. But the backstories are Bain grew up in the Miami area. He was a dominant player, helped his team win the state championship there. Mezidor is a Canadian.
Yeah.
He is.
Yep, sure is.
When he was in high school, he went to a camp in Michigan as an inside linebacker. He got whooped so much in backs on backers drills. They said, if you do that again, you're done at linebacker. It happened again. So that's when he moved to defensive line and sort of never looked back. Started at West Virginia, transferred to Miami. And when he heard that they were hiring NFL Hall of Famer Jason Taylor to be his position coach, he said, who?
Yeah.
Because apparently as a Canadian, or maybe just he was just a player, he wasn't a football watcher. He didn't know Jason Taylor, Hall of Fame edge.
Yeah.
But apparently that was something that was really, really good for him. Turned out to be great for his development down there. That's Mezidor. And one of the takeaways for teams looking to draft either of them is they are always competing to see who can do anything the best, and that's why the headline is what it was. I guess who gets to practice first, who stays out on the field the latest, who watches the most film, who works harder, who clocked the higher GPS speed in practice, who did more reps in the weight room, who was first in the stretch line. Sounds like the kind of guys the Cowboys are looking for when it comes to highly competitive dudes that love football, love competing, love getting after it. That's pretty much everything Shoddy's looking for.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and I think you can say that about a handful of these guys on the Miami defense, and we've talked about them plenty, but you got a couple of guys in the secondary, and then those two guys on the D-line. Like, they're just they are a fiery, violent bunch who are dedicated to dominance.
Every spot in the weight room, I thought you'd appreciate this, Chief, is a source of contention between Mezidor and Bain, except the squat rack, where Mezidor concedes to Bain, who puts up apparently 640 pounds on squats.
You can 700, see it. Yeah.
700?
It, yeah, Bain.
He's pretty impressive in the lower half.
You don't find a lot of edge players with a butt like that, do you?
No. Yeah.
That's why I was, when I first watched him, I'm like, is he a three tech? Should they kick him inside? But he certainly is capable of getting to the quarterback at the edge.
But as impressive as Bain is, according to ESPN's advanced metrics, Mezidor has the edge over Bain in several athletic categories and football playing categories. Pressure percent, Mezidor edges out Bain 14.3 to 14. Time to first pressure, 2.66 to 2.71. High speed yards, or the total amount of yards a player traveled above 16 miles per hour. Mezidor did 118 of those. Bain has 83 of them. And the max speed has Mezidor up at 18 miles an hour. And Bain sitting there at 16.3. They kick off coming up at 6:30. You also have the young wide receiver on that team.
Malachi Toney.
You have a corner. Who else do we need to be looking out for?
Yeah, I mean, Maui Noah, the right tackle, if you're looking at offense. But I think it's mostly defense right now for the Cowboys in the draft. Number zero, the nickel corner, Keontae Scott. Number eight, Jacoby Thomas, the safety. Plus Mezidor, number three. And Bain, number four on the D-line. Those four guys are true studs.
One other thing to pass on, the agent of the Washington quarterback who bailed on him, he dropped the player. Doug Hendrickson, quote, "I have made the decision to end my representation of DeMond Williams effective immediately due to philosophical differences. DeMond's an incredible talent. We wish him and his family the best in their future endeavors." And with that, it's time to go into the Pimp Cup. Here, Lucius Alexander, has your G-Bag.
Yeah. All right, man, G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan 530. What up? My name is L.A. Lucius Alexander. Hit me up on social media, at Lucky Lucius P. If there's anything you think I should be playing, I don't care where it comes from, shawty. It can be from another radio station, come off your TV. You could have recorded it from your phone off the TV. I don't care. Just make sure it's good. Or you can find all of our bios. Go to Twitter, find G-Bag Nation. Our handle's in the bio. Look, I had that backwards. And G-Bag of the Year for 2025 is this Friday, 5:30. I think I've collected a lot of them. I might need a test sheet just to make sure, but I think I collected all of them. All right, our winner and champ right here, day one, going for two, comes from our Wooly Bully segment. Wooly Bully's top 10. He did the worst desserts, and that brought something out of brought us when minced meat came
mince
on
meat
up.
Came, yeah. Get it for your birthday this weekend, Lucius.
Don't do that. Yeah, brought us, man. He had like a little throwback frontier vibes.
I don't know.
Five for is mincemeat pie.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, it's pork chops and applesauce.
Wow.
That's not an American.
Where did that come from? Is that German or something?
It sounds
19th century.
That's a dessert, man.
That's crazy, bro.
Take it down with a little bit of vodka.
Mincemeat pie.
They're at the gates.
That's like
make me a mincemeat pie.
Yeah, that's like Game of Thrones.
We're about to be taken over.
Quick, take a mincemeat pie.
Oh, jeez. I can see Patton's tanks. Make a mincemeat pie.
I love the pies. That's a throwback. That's throwback dessert right there. Mincemeat, bro.
Very throwback.
It is.
It's a hodgepodge situation. Woo. Shout out to Miami. I'm going for Miami tonight. Yeah. I'm doing. Going Miami.
Finny Blades.
All right, let's see here. I was sitting on this one for a second, waiting for this night. Shout out to my man, Eric Chiafalo. The playmaker putting belt to ass after the Canes beat Ohio State. And he put the jersey around. What is that?
It was a cooler.
It was a cooler, Gatorade cooler.
Yeah, he did a trash can the week before. Yeah.
The cooler works better, too, probably.
Yeah, he took his belt off. The media was just surrounded by him, and he put on a show.
I told y'all not to come to this stadium. Did not tell y'all not to come to this stadium. Don't come back. No. Oh, that's it, baby. Do you belt to ass?
We put
belt to ass. We did it every week, and we're going to keep doing it until we land back home in our stadium for the national championship. Next week, same deal, same bat channel, same bat time. Belt to ass.
Belt to ass. Belt to ass.
He was snapping that belt.
Oh, he was.
Snapping.
He was making hard contact.
You guys ever get a whooping and your parents hit you with every syllable?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Usually it was the threat. Like, as soon as the belt came out, it was enough.
Oh, man, we knew the sound of my dad's top drawer because that's where the belts were. Yeah. You could hear the sound. You're like, oh, here it comes.
There you go.
You start digging around.
Run.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Put on a rain jacket. I had a long yellow rain jacket.
A few pair of pants.
They would start laughing. My dad would laugh. He would. I'd show up. I looked like a Mrs. Paul's fish stick guy, you know, with that long yellow slicker. And my dad would just start cracking up.
I'm here, ready for my butt whooping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, my dad definitely hit me with every syllable. So you got to make sure you don't do a lot of things. You just do one thing.
Being from the country.
There's a lot of things he's going to explain to you as she's whooping you.
Yeah.
When I tell you, like, oh my God, come on, man.
Come on.
Anyway, what did you say, sir?
Being, you know, the country background you have, did you ever did they ever tell you to go pick out your own switch?
A few times. Yeah. They really didn't turn out that way.
Yeah.
Pops will look at them switches. He'll use them for a second. They wouldn't work. And he'll go back outside, get a better switch. It'd be so green and just whippy.
My mom said my grandfather would make the kids do that. They had like six kids.
Yeah, go get your own switch.
Rural Indiana. That was a popular move.
Yeah.
They would get me with just a very, very calm, this is disappointing and it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Yeah, that's how they would try to justify it.
Let's switch spots then, dog. Yeah. Because I want to learn from this lesson.
The worst mistake I ever made was laughing at my mom's spankings.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I was so stubborn. I'd be like, doesn't hurt. You know?
Oh, wow.
That's when the just wait till your dad gets home line would
That's tough.
Become
I used to
prevalent.
Get both, man. Mom, tear me up, and then I'm going to tell your dad. I'm like, come on, didn't you just handle this?
Yeah, it's accounts been paid.
Yeah, what are you doing? Now you got to clean your room till your dad gets home. He walks in and busts your butt again. Taking all that frustration from workout on you. God, dog, man, what a setup. All right, Chris Berman did play-by-play of, what was that, Laura Rutledge?
Laura Rutledge, yeah.
She was running into the sidelines during the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, she getting to her halftime seat.
Yeah, she was. Ole Miss was in the Sugar Bowl, right?
Yes,
sir, they were.
Okay, this is why I sat on this one, too, right here, because Ole Miss is playing tonight, right?
Yep. They are playing.
Okay, yes, look at you, boy.
Oh, you're on it.
Got to run.
All right, yeah, Chris Berman, play-by-play.
Look at this. Now, you've just done an interview, and you could go way to the sidelines, but it doesn't end it. Oh, my God, we got the band. Is it the Stanford-Cal game? No, it's not. There are the tubas. There are the drums. And what's it? What? And
what?
What? And then the xylophone, be careful. And then we got to get you on the set. Tim, get out of the way. Laura, you got the mic. Have a seat. And I want to say this, because we're watching NFL Live on a Monday. I have seen, personally, a lot of great runs in the history of Monday football. That just took the cake.
She had them big-ass boots on, man.
She was stumbling, bumbling, rumbling.
Yeah. He was hustling.
She was dodging a lot of things on that sideline.
She was jumping over the ball bags and stuff.
She's
like
got
that.
Like 45 seconds to make it from one end of the field to the other.
She's
got to
sit down, boom,
get mic'd up, get the earpiece.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah, she was
that
in the
brought
pocket.
Berman back to life, though. That's the best he's sounded in 2 decades.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I sat on it. I know you have a little tension with Berman.
Yeah, he's washed up. But there's something I like about him.
You know, prime.
I wish he was still in his prime.
I know. He was so good.
He does too, fam.
20 years ago.
You might think he still is, though. He kind of seems like a guy that loves himself.
I like when he goes off, gets upset. That little video of him getting mad.
Yeah, it's really
classic.
Good.
I love when people crash. Oh, bro.
He's professional.
Let's go to Nightcap, Ocho Cinco, and Shannon Sharp. By the way, Ocho Cinco, Shannon Sharp. Has anyone here been to North Carolina? Anybody here?
Yes, sir.
Charlotte's
I
airport.
Think I have.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Quite a bit. Beautiful state.
I've heard it's gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful state. Been.
I want to check it out one day.
Yeah. You'd like it, Lucius.
Panthers in the playoffs.
Hello. Why are you hopping up another team? You ain't even never been to Charlotte.
What you talking about, man? I've been to Charlotte Motor Speedway. I done been to a Panthers game. I done played against the Panthers in Charlotte and gave them that work. What you talking about? I used to date a girl in Charlotte. Yeah. Never forget, 2003. I wonder how she doing.
I don't know.
2003.
I've been to Raleigh. I've been to Raleigh.
You mean Raleigh?
Raleigh.
Okay.
Close to Blake Elliott.
That's how you say it? How you say it again? You for real? But it's spelled R-A-L-E-I-G-H.
Raleigh.
That's Raleigh.
Raleigh.
That's close Raleigh. Enough. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Close enough, man.
That's Raleigh.
Raleigh. Close enough, man. Don't worry about it.
That is classic.
Raleigh.
Raleigh.
Man, that's good. We do have a little bit of breaking news, guys.
Oh.
Todd Archer tweeting, the Cowboys have requested permission to speak with Minnesota defensive pass game coordinator Durante Jones, plus Denver assistant Jim Leonard, Brown safeties coach Ephraim Banda for the defensive coordinator vacancy, according to multiple sources. That's a report from Todd Archer. Thanks to Bobby Belt for texting that into
Let's
us.
Let's go.
Nice.
All right.
Is that good stuff?
I'm excited.
Jim Leonard. I mean,
Jim Leonard's on there.
A gym
hey, Durante
right
Jones.
Now.
That's an interesting name. And anybody named Ephraim. Ephraims are usually badasses.
Oh, and how about this? Cowboys were denied by Atlanta to talk with Jeff Ulbrich.
Yep, they want to keep him there.
Okay, the news is flowing, just like that. What do you say, Lucius? Time to vote.
Let me get one more up in this joint right here because yesterday was a church day. I want to make sure everybody got their blessings and whatnot. Shout out to the Tolos. They voted this one in. The toxic, you know, preachers were going back and forth on Toxic Tuesday.
Yeah.
Preacher beef. Bishop Patrick Wooden says Jamal Bryant's wife was a two-hour whore.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, my God. He did say that.
He did.
A preacher presented his wife the other day, and I guess you call that a flesh-colored dress. I don't know. It's black dress and flesh color. It gives the illusion that she's not wearing anything underneath. And I heard the preacher when he defended her dress by saying, first of all, he bought the dress. So I guess our objection to a man of the cloth presenting his wife looking like a $2 whore.
Oh, my God. Damn,
Reverend, too much.
At least two.
At least two.
My statement is not about her. My statement is about him. I don't know of a greater way for a man to demean his wife. And if he doesn't think that that is demeaning her, there is something wrong with him. But then again, we're also talking about the guy who looked at Cam Newton's legs and told Cam he had pretty legs.
Oh,
he sure did. Here's the clip.
You got pretty legs, man.
Mm. Oh, man.
And they lanolated.
They lanolated.
Lanolated. He's making up words.
He's got to calm down, bro.
I think in the original preacher's defense, he said it was flash colored. You know what I'm saying?
Flashing.
Flash.
It was flash colored.
Shut up, bro.
Okay, we got our champ brought us with his reaction to the mincemeat pie. I'm sorry. That was bad. We got the playmaker, Michael Irvin, talking about BTA on the sidelines, and we're going to get the dub tonight as well against Ole Miss. Chris Berman, you got Ocho Cinco. He has been to North Carolina. Or you got your preacher beef. Okay, you got a champ. You got four different challengers. This one is tough. I did like that Ocho line. I'm going to go with Chris Berman, though, Chief. How about you?
Give me the playmaker.
We're tied at one, Lucius.
God, dog, nightcap Ocho Cinco in there.
We're tied at one, Woolchuck.
I think I got to go with Ocho as well. Raleigh.
Yeah,
I think that's the girl's name. She actually dated a girl back in 2003. Yeah. I wonder how she's doing now, bro. It's 2026.
I'm going to go with Ocho as well.
By a score of 3-1-1, and your new G-Bag of the Day champion, it's Shannon Sharp there with Ocho Cinco with a pretty good bit. Okay, we got to stay in the Pimp Cup now. Yeah. It's time for LA Live.
Hold on.
Each weekday at 5:30, Gavin, Lucius, and the guys bring you the G-Bag of the Day.
Gavin, Lucius.
Each weekday at 5:30, Gavin, Lucius, and the guys bring you the G-Bag.
Lucius. I'm Dominican now, fam. I'm Dominican. I know black. I'm Dominican.
By the way, G-Bag of the Year tomorrow, 5:30.
Yeah.
The AI Jerry on why he fired McCarthy. Looks like an effing pork chop. You remember that clip?
Oh, yeah.
That's my leader in the clubhouse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just as a little tease.
Okay.
A lot of good stuff, though. I was just looking at the calendar.
We need the whole 5 o'clock hour for this, don't we?
Yeah, we might need multiple segments.
Probably at least a G-Bag of the Day in LA Live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, right? It's maybe. It's going to bleed over to 6 o'clock.
We'll take it into the six. Who cares?
If we need to, who cares?
All right, let's get into a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James.
Well, all right, you squares, it's time to smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
Man, if you single right now, bro, let your apartment go, get you a storage unit, and stack your bread. Sleep in your storage unit. Because the thing about it, when you get in the storage unit, you ain't gonna have to pay nothing but like $50 to maybe $100 a month. So you might want to stack your bread for maybe a year or 6 months, 9 months, and build your credit. Versus being in your apartment, you ain't able to get no credit cards, pay your credit card bills. You ain't able to really make shape, move, and make nothing happen. But if you go get that storage, you're gonna be able to save so much money. And then who knows, some nights, and most of the time if you're single, most of y'all do want to date multiple chicks anyway, so y'all gonna already have about 2 or 3 females y'all dating anyway. Stay one of their house 2 days, stay another house 2 days, stay another house 2 days. You sleep in your storage on, what, 7 day? See how they work? Play the game small and stack your money. A lot of y'all ain't ready to make that sacrifice, though. A lot of y'all gonna be crazy when I see
you. I'm weak-minded.
It's on y'all, though.
Hey, man, it's some New Year motivation for y'all, man. I'm trying to get these guys motivated out here. Is that some sound advice you think right there?
If it's an air-conditioned unit, yeah.
Could you actually make it in that thing? Like,
I've seen people do it.
There are individuals that
I've seen
them
do it.
Really?
Yeah. The guy who's like making full meals in a hotel bathroom and crap like that. Like, that guy's, he's built for that.
Yeah, he got the little traveling cooker thing or whatever. Yeah,
pretty amazing.
Flat top in there. But you can't watch TV. You got to have headphones on because that would echo through that little building, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's going to be your biggest problem is staying under the radar
staying
of the manager.
Low.
Biggest problem, too, is like midnight pee.
Yeah.
You gotta
get bubble guts. You got hit with the bubble guts randomly. All of a sudden, you're like, bro, I got to get in my car and go to Quick Trip.
Man, you got to put a trash can around a toilet like you're out there in the woods.
Yep. Hopefully there's a Buc-ee's within striking distance.
You get the toilet seat part. You put that on a 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah.
Clean that out every morning, I think. But that's nasty.
That's nasty.
It's a nice pot.
Eventually these gals.
It's in the trash bag, so all you do is just close up the bag.
Okay. Oh, that's true. That's
brilliant. Brilliant. You know, you just got to, those trash bags be paid.
I know this
because
we didn't have water at the house for a while. I'm just telling you.
Oh, no.
This is why I learned this. She taught me. I was like, I'll be down.
But how about that?
She's pretty smart.
You've done this before. You're probably going to have to keep these gals in rotation, though, because after 2 months, they're going to want to see your place, aren't they? They're only going to let you.
Yes.
Yeah. They're going
to always go to her.
They're going to want a proof of domestication at some point.
Yeah. I got a buddy that was dating a girl, and he never took the girl to his house. He always liked hotels or something else like that. She went around, started a rumor that he was homeless.
Yeah. Homeless, married. They're going to have a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
You can't be up late FaceTiming either from the...
You can't.
From the...
No, that's true.
You can't be on the radar. Like, you can't move around at night. Like you said, because the cameras are there all the time.
Yeah, once you lock in, you got to close that door. It's got to be air conditioned, though, too. You can't be just hanging out at a bad one, right?
Yeah, because there's no electrical. Can you even charge your phone?
That's what
there?
I'm saying. Is
yeah,
there
you can. Plugs? There's lights. There's plugs.
There's plugs.
There is plugs. Okay.
Plugs, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I did see a guy do a podcast out of a storage unit before.
Yeah.
He did a podcast out of there. I don't know. Hey, it is what it is. Some sound mind and advice right there for you guys if you want to take it. Hey, you will stack your bread.
you will stack your bread. Plus, if you're trying to make yourself better, man, do what you got to do, fam. Do what you got to do. This is LA Live for Thursday, January 8th, 2026. It is a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night Edition. Welcome in, folks. Shout out to all the Tolo ladies that listen to the station. You are appreciated. And shout out to the on-time experts, all right? Zach Wolchuk, I have a question for you, sir.
What's up?
For anybody that wants to answer this, too, by the way, but going to you because you might have some expertise in this.
Okay.
I seen this on Threads because I be on Threads. This woman has caused a firestorm of a conversation for a couple of weeks now.
Oh, no.
She said, to my future husband, I want a natural diamond ring, not a lab-grown. A big one, too. 5 carats are better, to be exact. Thanks in advance. So many people are responding to this. Yeah. This think pieces and everything about lab-grown diamonds versus real diamonds.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about the lab-growns versus the realies?
So I've my dad, when I was getting for Maya, literally he didn't tell me which one was which. Gave me a lab-grown, gave me a natural mine diamond. They were both the same carat. I put them up, said, which one do you think looks better? I did the whole light trick and everything, and I said, the one on the left. That was the lab-grown diamond.
Mm.
You get whatever the hell you want. If she thinks she needs to think that it is mined, go for it. She's not going to know the difference.
She's not going to know.
Will she look it up, though? Will she?
If she wants to take it somewhere, there's probably trust issues already.
Yeah.
So you probably shouldn't be getting married.
That's a good point.
I've seen a tester situation where they can't even tell the difference. They put the tester on there.
I'm telling you, oftentimes the lab-grown looks better, if not just as good. So I don't think there's a difference. I don't get why people are fighting over this. But
price, big time difference?
The price is usually going to be better for you with the lab grown. The natural mind should usually be a little bit more expensive, but I think they're both quality diamonds.
Okay. Yeah, I got some diamond earrings, but it's moissanite. It's moissanite. Can you name a famous jeweler? Anybody in this room, can you name a famous jeweler?
Johnny Dang.
Johnny, TV Johnny. Yep.
There you go.
TV Johnny out of Houston. I got that one on the list. Anybody else?
No.
Name a famous jeweler.
I can't.
Yeah, man. Jacob the Jeweler.
There you go.
Jacob. Ben Baller. He got real big during the MySpace days. Ben Baller. We got one that listens to the station, VVS Cam. Shout out to you, fam. He made his grilling engagement ring. He made the ring.
That's pretty fly.
Come on, bro. You cannot beat that.
That is awesome.
You cannot beat that. There's a famous New York jeweler, Trax.
Oh.
He went viral this past weekend because there was a rival jeweler that was biting off of his stuff.
I saw this.
He crashed on out,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, he did.
He got choked out by the chain, too. They choked him out with that chain. Yeah, some dude was pretending to be him and ripping off people and everything. He confronted him.
Doc, mother f***, you say VVS?
Oh, yeah.
I3? 14K, and you're using my name, you bitch!
You bitch!
Yeah, 6447. Thief! You fucking thief! Bitch!
Yeah, man. It's real out there in the world, I guess. It's real out there. Let's get into some drunk stuff real quick.
Hell yeah.
Hi, my name's John, and I used to be a beer guy. It was my whole world. I'd travel around to all the different breweries, spending a ton of money. In particular, I loved IPAs. That stands for India Pale Ales. I could tell you all about the beers. What the smell meant, how hoppy it was. Was it a double? What was it? All the info you wanted to know. If you wanted to talk about IPAs, I was your guy. I was a real beer snob. But as it turns out, I was just an alcoholic. Disguised as a guy that just really liked IPAs. I just like getting f***ed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. About 6 or 7 of those IPAs, they'll get you. 8% alcohol. It's like 2 beers in 1.
Yeah, that's what Colby used to drink, them joints. Shout out to the Hurricanes. Hey! And congratulations to New York Yankees Jazz Chisholm for getting engaged to his girlfriend.
Yeah.
He did this on Christmas under the northern lights in Finland. That's baller.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
That's big baller stuff right there. The Yankees infielder proposed to his girlfriend, I believe this is Annalise Santiago. Anyway, I know her by Anna Mack. Her name is Anna Mack. That's how I know her.
Uh-oh. It's just the one that they had the shared. She dated both of them.
Bam. She starred in Baddies. She starred in Baddies, a reality TV show that was created by Natalie Nunn.
There we go.
Natalie Nunn is from Bad Girls Club, by the way. That is on the Zeus Network, home of Jocelyn's Cabaret, that show that I like, and I'm telling
everybody not to watch because it's very trash, but I like it because Josh will be talking to those girls crazy. Well, anyways, after Jazz posted this new information about his new girlfriend and wife-to-be on Instagram, fans allegedly dug up her OnlyFans.
Oh, no.
Being some haters. He came out and defended that situation, though, Mr. Woolchuck, and you were right about that.
By the way, they asked me to clear up something. That's my bank account that subscribed to.
Oh, yeah, because come on, y'all already know I be scamming on my
why y'all go straight into my
why y'all trying to play with my man and act like I'm an OnlyFans girl?
Hey, that's my account. Y'all stupid as
hell. Come on, y'all. Y'all know Annalise, y'all know Anamac.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. That's how I know I got a real one. Y'all subscribe, they go to me.
And he also knew about it.
My shorty, make sure I get bread. Hello. Someone said my PR team gonna be working overtime. Too bad I'm my own PR team.
You know what I also told them? Like, I don't even care if we're engaged for 4, 5, 7, 3, 4, 8, 9 years.
Yeah, we're good.
Whenever we get married is when we get married. I just know we're gonna be together forever. Mm. So I'm definitely planning, but definitely trying to aim for the end of next year or summertime. Baby, what's wrong with you?
You said 4, 5, 6.
Why are you in the back?
Yeah.
The hell, you singing a new song or something?
Why is you back there making them faces?
Because you talking all them god numbers, god.
Because even if we don't walk down the aisle, I'm a fiancita.
If we don't walk down the aisle, we going to the goddamn court. Get that done quick.
Well, congratulations, sir. Sorry, have fun with that.
It's like saying the great things.
Have fun with that, bro. That's Be careful. Strap up. Get snipped up. Do what you got to do to protect yourself. Have fun, though, fam.
It's past having fun when you're wifing up the OnlyFans girl.
Wifing up the OnlyFans
girl. Or the OnlyFans dude.
So I tried to do some research to see if I could find her OnlyFans. I did not, but I found a lot of videos of her popping that thing.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of videos popping her thing. You wouldn't be upset if your girl had an OnlyFans, would you? Huh?
Depends how much money we're talking about.
It depends on the cash.
Yeah, no.
What are you posting?
Yeah. It means, I wonder, why are you doing it? Is it because the streets got to eat and you hustling? I'm cool with that.
Yeah, hustle's hustle.
If you're just a little thotty and you get some money with your
attention.
Body?
Yeah. I made $27 and 800 guys were flirting with me. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Hold on, what?
Yeah. So be careful with that, Mr. Jazz Chisholm.
That's why they wear all the makeup. Yeah, that's why they wear all the makeup and the bras and everything. They crave attention so hard. So you gotta, find one that maybe isn't on the far end of that spectrum. That's just my personal opinion.
Zion Williams should have got him a waitress, bartender, a girl that's a nurse practitioner or something like that. Stop chasing these thotties, fam. Mm. Before I get out of here, we mentioned Natalie Nunn, former USC soccer player. Google that girl. Everybody talks about her chin. Google that girl.
Yeah, it's
former USC soccer player, former Bad Girls Club member. I used to watch the hell out of that show. She's married to a former pro football player, Jacob Payne, who had a cup of coffee in the NFL and played for the Arizona Rattlers. Mm. She's now a boss and CEO creating a TV empire. Said all that to say she was on Cam Newton's podcast, Funky Friday, and she revealed who bought her first car.
I will say this, Shaq bought me my first car.
What?
Mm. Yeah. I didn't know if we were going there with that, but my first car was...
You dated Shaq?
No, I never dated Shaq. I
was Some ain't adding up. Some ain't adding up.
Yeah, he bought me my first car.
How? Make sense.
I was at USC. He bought me a bug. He bought me a bug, a brand new bug, a little
brand new.
Yeah, it was a convertible little bug.
You gotta make this sense. Jacob, we need to answer.
No, this is before. I was in college. I was young. Shaq was at the he played for the
Lakers.
USC.
Sketchier.
No, we used to, USC was down the street. Don't see, now you're being messy. I'm about to go to sleep. I'm not doing
messy?
That. No, no, look, like Natalie Nunn. No, don't do that.
Yeah, so now you know who bought Natalie Nunn's first car.
Shaq is so generous, I could see him just doing it, but.
Yeah. I get it. He's a generous guy, bro. You catch him at Walmart, and in that line, you good.
What you need? You need a car?
Yeah.
You need a car to get you from work? Okay. Grab them shoes for that little boy right there, too.
I mean, that might have just been like his introductory statement of letting him know that I'm interested. Here's a car.
Just buying random soccer players' cars in college.
Yeah.
He's a great guy, man. Shout out to Shaq. So famous, he's just one name, Shaq, at this point. Hey.
My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. G-Bag of the Day, 5:30. I'm out. Holla.
We got three names the Cowboys are going to talk to. What we can tell you about that as we had the breaking news about 30 minutes ago. We'll follow up on that and talk about what these coordinators would bring to the table for your Cowboys. They're going to interview them tomorrow. Plus, I think I got a way to make a trade with the Hawks make sense for the Mavericks and Anthony Davis. And those stories and more coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan.